The theme running through this year's Christian Aid Week is water. Water is vital for life. We can only live a few days without it. The human body is about 60% of water. That's over half of us. And we know that water is good. But those of us who have experienced a flood or seen pictures of floods on television will know that too much water in the wrong place can be devastating. It is destructive and dangerous. I enjoy gardening, and many of you also may like to grow plants. And if you do, you will know, as I have learned, that the right amount of water is vital. I have an allotment, and early in the year when it was very wet, the ground was almost impossible to work. The clay soil was just too sticky and heavy, and there'd been too much rain. Over the past month or so, Becky, Daniel and I have made much progress in clearing the weeds and getting areas ready for planting. And I now have a small range of baby vegetable plants growing there. But then came another problem. We have just had one of the driest Aprils on record, and no rain meant that I had to go down to the allotment regularly to water the plants, otherwise they would have died. And by the end of the month before the rain came, the ground was getting too hard for us to dig anymore. And we were hoping that rain would come. I was, however, less than grateful than I should have been when the hailstone arrived last Saturday while we were down there and we all got very wet and muddy. But fortunately, I don't rely on my crop. It is just a hobby. I don't have to walk for miles for water, even if it doesn't rain. And if my carrots die, I can buy more at the supermarket. I won't go hungry. But the climate crisis is having a significant impact on communities in Kenya. The main problem is the lack of access to a reliable source of water to help them withstand the unpredictable weather, which is made worse through climate crisis. The weather has become more extreme. Drought has become more frequent and intense, resulting in millions of people being short of food as they're unable to grow crops. In parts of Kenya in 2020, drought was followed by relentless rainfall and flooding, which damaged any crops that had struggled to grow. And with no access to reliable water sources or a way to capture rainfall, many communities are now struggling to survive. And the coronavirus pandemic has only increased the urgent need for families to have access to a reliable source of water for hand washing. Without that reliable water source, staple crops like maize and beans are being damaged and destroyed. The lack of water forces people to walk further to find a dependable source. Cows, sheep, and goats are becoming weak without access to water, and so they can't produce milk or be sold. People are struggling and their lives are at risk. We heard earlier about some of those that Christian Aid has been working with from Kate. But there's also another story, that of Rose. Rose is caught in a cycle of climate chaos. From severe drought to flooding, extreme weather robs her of what she needs to survive. That is a reliable source of water. Without water, every day is a struggle. Without water, Rose is thirsty and hungry. And this is her climate crisis. When I was a girl, there was plenty of food, Rose says. Now the rains are totally unreliable. The climate crisis has galvanized extreme weather, and Rose's community are feeling the brunt of it. For months at a time, Rose lives with drought. I often feel hungry, she says. Because of climate change, I worry a lot about food. I pray to God that the rainfall will become normal like it used to be. In recent years, the drought has been so bad that it's caused a hunger crisis. Crops wither and die. The rivers run dry, and people struggle to survive. Rose strives to provide for her grandchildren who live with her. She does all she can to give them happy childhoods, but the crisis is driving her to the brink. In times of drought, Rose sets out on a long, dangerous journey every morning to collect water for the family. She walks on an empty stomach. We have to walk long distances. We are suffering, Rose says. She feels weary under the hot sun, but if she gives up, her grandchildren will suffer hunger and thirst. With a dam full of water, Rose would be free from her long, painful journeys. She would have time to grow fresh vegetables for her family to eat, and she could see her grandchildren grow up and live life in all its fullness. For Rose, one regular refrain of the Psalm of Lament might be her daily prayer. How long, O Lord? How long before we have what is enough and what is just? How long until there is justice and enough? And not far away from her, another story can be told, that of Florence, whose story you've just seen on the video. Florence's life is full of love and laughter. The women in her farming group look up to her. She's courageous, a survivor. A few years ago, her husband died, leaving her a widow. And at that time, she had no water to grow her crops, and her children were hungry. She too had to walk hours on dangerous journeys to collect water. And life was miserable, she says. But things have changed for Florence, thanks to donations from Christian Aid and the work of local partners. She has built the dam beside her farm, enough to gather the rains when they might otherwise overwhelm, and retaining sufficient irrigation for weeks when there isn't a cloud in the sky. And with this dependable source of water, Florence can grow tomatoes, onions, and chilies on her farm. And her children can eat their own healthy vegetables. It's her source of life and joy. And as we saw in the video, she can keep bees and sell the honey. And Florence can join her voice with the psalm for today. She can sing a new song unto the Lord, for he has done great things. With her, the rivers and the mountains, and indeed her dam with a plentiful water supply, can sing before the Lord, who judges the world in righteousness. The theme of water flows quite literally throughout the Bible. There are 722 references. And that water brings life, both physical and spiritual. Right at the beginning, with the story of creation that we heard read so beautifully by Kate this morning, God's spirit hovers over the waters. Bodies of waters are formed, and in them are the first living creatures, the waters teeming with life. In Genesis 2, God provides rivers and streams to water the Garden of Eden, acknowledging that water is vital for life and for growth. And here everything was perfect. Everything in perfect balance. If you've got a plant or something that represents creation with you, or if you're able to look out the window, look and marvel at everything that has been made by God. All of life needs perfect balance, a balance of light and dark, of wet and dry, a balance of food and nutrients to thrive. And God in his love provided that for us. And all of his creation sings with his goodness and faithfulness. So why then do we have places like Kenya, where they do not have enough rain, where they are suffering with drought and flood? Because we live in a fallen world, and life and creation is not how God first intended it to be. We are outside of the Garden of Eden, but we are not without hope. It is no coincidence that many of the key events in the Old Testament stories happen around wells. There is a significance in the meeting around life-giving water. And it is at another well that Jesus meets with a Samaritan woman in John 4 and offers her living water, water that will never leave her thirsty again, water that gives eternal life, and water that we too can drink. Our hope and salvation come from life in Christ, and that is where Rose and Florence have their hope too. The dam brings a second chance of life-giving water, but they know the joy of Christ and his never-failing source of living water. at the end of the Bible in Revelation 22, we have another reference to water. Eden is restored and another river flows, the river of the water of life. In verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let anyone who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes drink the free gift of the water of life. We have hope of Eden restored, and yet, not yet. For in this time of waiting, we are still to bring God's kingdom to birth here on earth, to care for creation and everything and everyone in it, to love others as ourselves, to love others as Christ loves us, to ensure justice is done and resources fairly shared. In the Old Testament, we see floods and times of drought as punishment from God for disobedience. But we must be careful here. For Florence and Rose are not being punished by God for the things they have done or not done. Rather, they are suffering because we all live in a perfect and an imperfect and unjust world. They are suffering because of the foolishness and selfishness of us all, suffering because of the choices we make. As we heard in our last gig service, Fairtrade Fortnight, climate change is affecting those who can cope with, affecting most those who can cope with it least. Those who were already in such a fine state of balance, too little or too much, that any change is catastrophic. We must confess our part in this and bring with Rose our prayer of lament to God for the state of our world. We must also act to change and protect the environment before it is too late. It may already be too late for us to reverse the damage that's been done to the climate for people like Rose and Florence, but we must not let it get worse. Hope is not lost, but through the support of Christian Aid and organisations like them, we can help make a difference. We can help people like Florence make changes to their farming methods, such as building dams, so they're able to cope with the new environment and enable them to live life to the full. Through our generosity, we can help ensure the much needed water is not withheld from Rose's community. Through our actions for justice, we can help ensure that the systems that perpetuate climate injustice are changed and a reliable source of water can be made available to all who need it. In Psalm 96 that we read at the beginning and Psalm 98, which is the lectionary psalm for today, and they're both remarkably similar, and they both speak of singing a new song. And what is the new song that we can sing together this Christian Aid Week? Whatever the song, it is one that we sing with the earth and with creation. Throughout these songs, people are just one of the many participants in the praise and the presence of God. Let our new song be part of creation's praise. The world and those who live in it are on par with the roaring sea and the clapping hands of the rivers and the singing hills in joyful anticipation of the Lord coming to set things right. To understand floods and sea as a source of creation's praise may be something of a stretch when we consider the destructive floods. But it is perhaps with the coming of God that even the danger of the sea and the destruction of the floods are to be brought under the creative administration of God's will. This emphasizes that nothing in all creation is beyond God's redemption. And even now, the floods can renew the soil with nutrients, and the sea does teem with abundance of life. And the psalm invites us to hope and work with creation for that day when the rightness of God will reign. Paul in Romans 8 reminds us that creation is in bondage to decay, will be set free. As we hear the groaning of creation in labour pains, as participates in and with creation, may we become midwives of love, bringing a better world into view. In the reading that Colin brought to us, Jesus says this: I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This verse is the purpose statement of this long parting speech from Jesus to his disciples. To speak of joy when he himself is on the threshold of deep trial and suffering is an indication of what joy is. For it was the joy set before him, for it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. Despite the suffering of Good Friday and the silence of Holy Saturday, this is a joy that believes that Sunday is coming. This joy does not deny sorrow or suffering, but coexists with them. Jesus' parting words to his disciples are an encouragement to abide in the love of God and dig deep into consistent, uncircumstantial joy. He knows that they're going to need each other to get through. Their love for one another and their sacrificial giving for their friends will strengthen them to endure. It is not duty, obligation, or command that will enable them to remain faithful and bear lasting fruit. It is love, friendship, and joy. And love, friendship, and joy is what we hope lies at the heart of our experience of Christian Aid Week. We hope that it is our love for one another that inspires our generous giving. That it is our friendship with communities we get to know through the stories of Rose and Florence that motivate us into sacrificial acts of solidarity. And it's through our generous giving and sacrificial actions that we bear lasting fruit and know complete joy. The joy that we participate in and experience in and through Christian Aid Week does not lead us away from suffering and struggle, but towards it. We choose to look towards the pain and see the possibilities for transformation. And Jesus goes on to explain to the disciples that even pain will turn into a joy that no one can remove. As we begin this week for Christian Aid, the challenges, both personal and communal, local and global, are indeed great. But so is the joy set before us. And so too is the abundance of life that can be found in the Spirit. To resist the injustice, to overcome poverty, to nurture creation, to act in these ways, even with small and faltering steps. This is surely a sign of our love for God, our love for God's people, and indeed love for God's creation. These things are a sign of our obedience to heaven, our faithfulness to Christ, and our fellowship in the Spirit. These things are the secret of joy, and Scripture assures us that even in struggle, these commands from God will be far from burdensome. Resistance is not futile, and victory will come, that the world will have enough, and the nations will finally be just. This Christian Aid Week, we can join in the struggle of communities with Rose. We can celebrate the changes in communities with Florence. If we make that choice, we refuse to get used to the way that the world is. We commit to struggle for all it might be, a world that is just and a world with enough. If we follow Jesus, if we live in the Spirit, then the kingdom will be discovered among us. If we make that choice, our joy will be complete in Christ, and Christ's joy will be complete in us. A prayer for restoration. Creator God, from the tree of the Garden of Eden to the tree in the city of Revelation, we thank you for your vision of creation healed. Help us to be your agents of restoration, tending to the beauty of the earth and enabling your healings of the nations. Amen.